Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
So welcome down to the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with producer Guy. And actually, you might hear from a little bit of ambient noise today. We're actually filming this outside.
We are. We're sat in the, would you call it a courtyard?
Yeah, I would.
Of the Marriott Worsley Park Golf and Country Club.
Yeah, it's very pleasant. So, long story short, I know we've had a couple of instances recently where filming has been a slight issue. We had the couple of episodes, the episode we shouldn't ever talk about ever again. We were back in the garage last week, but unfortunately, I'm having some jobs done at the house today, so there's noise, and we didn't want to disappoint. We didn't want to have to push back the podcast to a Wednesday because we know how much you love it on a Tuesday now.
We do.
So we're here outside. We actually filmed or recorded a podcast in the past with Steve Brotherhood, the caddy episode outside. So we thought we'd try it again. It's actually a lovely week here in the UK.
It's lovely here. It's just for you, though. It's the downside of living in a castle, isn't it? There's a lot of maintenance. You've always got bills in the moat, needs rewatering the fish, the exotic, the carp need feed in the moat, etc. So...
Yeah, I mean, the horses in the stables and all sorts. Yeah, listen, it's a tough life, but... Keep those YouTube views coming in, everybody.
Yeah.
No, but and also, like I say, it's I'm having a few little tweaks and changes, and also I've got some plans and some changes to enhance the garage simulator.
Oh, nice!
So hopefully, in the next few weeks, I might even do a new video on it. Who knows? Because I hinted at a video that's coming out soon that I've had a putting green put in the garden as well. So hopefully, my putting might improve, and if I can get the home simulator sorted, my golf might improve again.
Yes,
we'll see. We'll see what happens.
So last week's show was good, wasn't it?
Honestly,
I thought so.
That was the first time that we opened up with just a very simple question and simply spoke for 40 minutes on a topic about good golfers. It caused uproar on social media. The Facebook group went crazy. Everyone had a different definition on it. It was all over Twitter. It was all over our new Instagram page, which, by the way, plug, it's just reached 10,500 followers. So thanks so
Big
much
time.
To everybody that follows the new Rick Shields Golf Show podcast Instagram page. So make sure you get over there, a little behind the scenes. In fact, I'm going to post a picture of exactly where we are on there so you can see. I'm going to take the picture now, and if you jump over to the Instagram page.
Oh, that looks good.
You'll see exactly where we are filming this podcast today.
Well, speaking about good golf, we asked last week at the end of the episode for people to send in some emails to tell us what they think good golf is, what good golf looks like, etc. So I've handpicked, and this week, by the way, we had a copious amount of emails. It was borderline too many. So I was like that kid in school that revises the night before his test. Last night I was sat in the garden because, again, as the weather was nice, I was looking through all the emails, replied to a few really good ones, read them all. So we've got a few that handpicked. But if you remember, Rick, we said the other week that if you want to get your email read by us, is to put like a really bold title.
Clickbait, basically.
Well, I got clickbaited.
Okay.
I thought I was the master of clickbait. I thought together we were team clickbait, but actually I got clickbaited last night. So I had an email from Ben Johnson, okay?
Okay.
It was titled Yellow Polka Dot Underpants. Okay?
He's got you on it.
So he had me. But what was even worse, I knew it was clickbait, obviously. But I still thought, what's he saying? And all it was, hi, Guy and Rick. I figure the title might get your attention. So straight away, he's like, got you.
He knows.
I've fallen back in love with golf, partly due to your content. The videos and the pods are just brilliant. So thank you. I've just had a quick question, which I thought might spark a decent debate. And rather than post it on the Facebook group, I thought you, per a fan chat, might want to discuss it. Ooh, it's quite good. You know what? Actually, this is bad. I didn't really read this last line. So the question was, do tour pros enjoy golf as much as amateurs?
And that's the question.
That is the question.
What a great question.
Should we maybe come back to that and save it for a little bit and let's have a thing?
Yeah, let me marinate that a little bit because I feel like there's lots of angles we can go down with that.
I'll tell you what I'll do then is I'll write a note in here about tour pros so we don't forget to go back
to that. Do tour pros enjoy golf more than amateurs, or do amateurs enjoy golf more than tour pros? That's really interesting. I've got some good takes on that as well. I'll come back to that.
Well, speaking about the good golf emails then, we've got a couple. So we had one from Brian, which I'll just pull up now. There was a complete mixture of opinions, but it was so good. So Ryan said, just finished binging the podcast. In your last episode, you were debating what does good golf mean. I think that you can be good at golf while not being a good golfer and vice versa. I look at good at golf as a player who follows the rules, keeps a pace of play, etc. And regardless of skill, while someone who is a good golfer is someone who scores well. So if you had a player on the tour who cheated or just made poor sportsmanship, they're obviously a great golfer, but at the same time, they're a bad golfer. Just food for thought, you put. So we kind of touched on that last week, but it's interesting to hear people.
Yeah, I think there's two angles on it. When it's good golfer, I think you've got to separate performance and all-round ability versus how much of a nice person they are, how good a person they are. Because if you're a good person, you don't cheat. If you're a good person, you play by the rules. If you're a good person, you do things that are ethically correct. You can be a very talented, good golfer, but have none of those good attributes when it comes to rules and etiquette and everything else. But I don't think that makes you a bad golfer.
Yeah.
It makes you a bad person.
True.
But I wouldn't say it's a bad golfer. I think, personally for me, I think golf has still got to be based on ability at that player's level.
Yeah.
As opposed to actually their personality
traits and
traits
stuff. Yeah. And then, well, Sean emailed in and he said, loving the podcast. I think when Rick read out what a good meant, the word desire was mentioned. So I believe if you're a good golfer playing at a standard where other people wish they could reach that level, then that's a good golfer in my opinion. Which I get, but equally, again, if you're off 28 and you sometimes can break 100, and a new golfer who can't break 140, they might desire to be you. So does that make you a good golfer? I don't know.
Everybody wants to be in everybody's shoes. There's a saying about that.
Yeah.
Everybody wants, you know, when you look at somebody else's life or you look at someone else's, you know, whatever it may be, somebody always wants to be in your shoes. It doesn't matter how good you are at golf unless you are literally Tiger Woods. I wonder if Tiger Woods ever looks and goes, I wish I was that person.
Never.
Apart from maybe Jack and the majors. I wonder how much he thinks about that. Anyway, it's US Open week, so it'd be interesting to see.
We're going
to
come on
golf
to that.
Course
exactly.
Looks ridiculous, by the way.
And the last one about good golf was actually from my brother. He started listening to the show.
Nice.
So my brother, Giles. He sent me a text, actually, after they'd listened, and he said, for me, whether somebody is a good golfer is relative to what you're measuring them against. Again, it's kind of what we've touched on. It's quite a good... A 4 handicapper compared to a 28 handicapper is really good, but a 4 handicapper compared to Tiger Woods is woeful.
So it's your ability, compared to someone else's. And if you want to get on the podcast, just text Guy.
Yeah,
that's all you've got to do, basically.
So this is where I've not ran this email past you yet, Rick, but this is possibly what we're going to title the podcast as.
Okay.
So, we're going to think of a clickbaity title. So you've already, by the time you listen to this, you've already seen the title. It's going to be something about when do you quit golf or should you quit golf or something. But we've had an email from James Robbins.
Okay.
Not to be mistaken as John Robbins, our friend at Bad Golf. This is James Robbins. So, love the podcast, etc., which is great. My question is, am I wasting my time? I've been playing golf for 8 years. In the last 2 years, I decided to try and take it more seriously and make a serious effort to improve. I've taken lessons on a more routine schedule about once every 3 weeks with a great coach who has me ripping it during my lessons. I practice daily on my fundamentals and had weekly range sessions. I play about 3 or 4 times a month and hit the range twice a week and still have very little improvement. When do you have to tell yourself this is as good as I can be? I play off 23 handicap and I've broken 90 just once. My goal is to be a routine 80s golfer. I've even taken So basically that's it. When is enough enough? Is the talent just not there for me? Thanks for your time.
So he wants to shoot in the 80s all the time?
Yes. He's grinding his arse off. He's off 23.
And when... has he specified how much time he's actually putting in?
Well, he's not put the actual times of each thing, but he's saying that he has a lesson every 3 weeks with a good coach. He's playing 3 or 4 times a month, so what's that, once a week? He's hitting the range twice a week. So...
yeah, I mean, I would be lying if I said I've not coached students that, to some degree, their ability, their hand-eye coordination, their natural flair, the way they move their body, the way they have limited range of movement, whatever it may be, I have seen golfers become limited in their progress to get better, regardless of their aim, regardless of their goal. They just don't quite have that ability, hand-eye coordination. However, if I was to give people advice about improving, it's about what you're doing when you go and practice. I mean, three times a month playing isn't loads.
No.
Not really. You know, it might be all you can play, which is fine. The times you're going down to the driving range, if you're going twice a week, are you practicing the things that actually stopping you from breaking 90?
Or is it just pulling out the driver and smacking it?
Like John Robbins, weirdly, whether it's a relation or not a relation of James, John. John said when he wanted to improve this year, and when lockdown took place, he really did dive into his data. Yeah. And he really looked at areas of his game that he fundamentally knew he could improve on, because he was taking 4 shots out of a bunker, or he was taking 6 3 putts around, or whatever it may be. And he homed in on those aspects, regardless of whether, let's say, James struggles with driver, let's just say, for example, and he does hit it badly with driver. Is he going down to the driving range every single week and practicing his driver, and then actually miss and analysing that he's taking 40 putts around, yeah, or he's taking 10 too many chips, or he's taking 4 too many bunker shots per round?
I think to some degree, everyone still does that in a way where, like, it's quite common. Say if I hit a good drive, right, and then I miss the green with an 8-iron, and then I put a chip to, like, 7 foot, and then miss the putt for par. You're annoyed that you've missed the putt, but you're not expecting to hole every 7-footer. It's the chip that was bad, and certainly the iron shot that was bad. So that's probably what you need to work on, rather than going rolling a few putts. But everyone's done that, haven't they?
But you'll go to the driving range and practice your driving.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's or practice your putting. Like, yeah. And those two things are actually all right. It's the fact that you've missed a green from 150, 160, yeah, and you've put a chip not close enough.
Yeah, my advice, if James is getting lessons from a good coach, he's saying it's a good coach, maybe booking an on-course lesson. I know it's more expensive, it takes more time, but you might only need one of those lessons you might take one on-course lesson in 6 weeks, let's say, and the amount of information you learn in that one lesson out on the golf course, where a coach can fundamentally look at you and go, oh, bloody hell, why have we worked on you driving for the last 6 months,
yeah,
when you've not holed a single putt all, yeah, day? Like, what is this about? So I think having that reflection, having that little insight from somebody from the outside world, and that's possibly where I got really guilty of it when I was a coach at Trafford Golf Centre, when I was coaching literally 6 days a week and students were just packed on top of each other. I was teaching 12 hours a day non-stop. It was somewhat of a, you could never really dive right into the depth of why a golfer wasn't good enough. You know, sometimes you'd end up just becoming a bit too focused on technique, as opposed to really looking at it from a holistic standpoint and going, well, actually, if we proper look into this, it's because of X, Y, and Z, not because of A, B, and C.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't quit. I would just try and really figure out, James. I'm getting mixed up my John and James.
But I've left a little bit out there. So you sent a follow-up email. I sent him one back and said, thanks, we're going to talk this in tomorrow's show, so make sure you're listening.
Okay.
He then sent me another one. And I'm getting Rob Potter vibes here. He then said, I've also got fitted for new Titus Dyens and started dieting and exercising and lost 10 pounds. I went all in. So what he's saying is he's literally given, I don't say he's given his life to golf, but he's very, very serious. Is he doing too much for his handicap? We sometimes talk about Rob, our friend of the show, Rob Potter. I'm sure a lot of you know from Rick's videos, mid-handicap tester. Rob's a good player. He's off 9. Is he 9 or 8?
He's off
9
now, yeah.
But, and he's finally got to where he should be at. But he spent, in my opinion, and probably Rick's to some degree, too long being so analytical and so obsessive and just instead of playing the game, which I think he knows deep down, but he just loves golf and that's fair play. Rob's a great guy. But it sounds a bit like with James, he's a little bit like that. He's on a losing weight, which is great, but he's losing weight. He's getting fitted for clubs, which again, he's good. He's having lessons. He's doing all the right things. But I can get in, even just from that one email or two emails, I'm getting the feeling that he's hardening himself, that he's just not necessarily enjoying it as much as he should be. He's too focused on handicap, focused on score. And I can imagine him being the kind of guy where, I might be talking rubbish here, but he turns up to the golf course an hour before the comp, he's practicing, he's putting his swing, feels awesome, he gets on the first tee, triple bogeys, his head's gone.
And you can get that other end of the spectrum. Like I said a minute ago, you can almost go into it slightly blind and not work on the right things. Or like you say, a Rob Potter vibe, or what, you know, with this follow-up email that, James has sent, this idea that you can dive into it too much. Like I always said to Rob, when Rob was probably hardest on himself is when he actually put the most time and work in. And he would, let's say, he'd have personal training sessions. He'd get fitted for all these golf clubs. He'd turn up with three different measuring devices, yeah. a watch, a bush, like a range finder. You know, he'd have the wind thermometer out. He'd have the, you know, the wind gauge. And
if
all
he's
sorts.
Not already, he'll be getting a Whoop band when he's soon.
100%. Like, he is too much. And I said to him one time, this is what I want you to do. And he never did it. I wish he did. Go out Friday night, get wasted. Like, go out and drink 10 pints, wake up the next day, be 10 minutes...
Get a taxi to the golf course.
Yeah, of course.
Rick will pick you up.
Like, arrive 10 minutes before your tea time, have no warm-up, and go and play. With no expectation level, just go and play golf. Don't take your range finders, don't map the golf course, you don't know where the pins are, just go and play golf.
Yeah.
And there is some element of that. I know I perform personally best when I actually don't overanalyze. I hate getting to the golf course too early. I end up changing. I almost change too many things. I actually like just arriving 20 minutes early, hitting 10 golf shots, 10 putts, and off I go. That's how I find I perform at my
optimum. I think for most
optimum.
People, because surely as well, last thing on this, but if you're doing all those things, although they sound like the right things, lessons every 3 weeks, range twice a week, golf every weekend, losing weight, getting fitted, on paper it's brilliant, but then think about how much pressure you're putting on yourself when you get up to that first tee in a comp. All that money you've spent, all that time you've spent, you're almost thinking, if I don't play well today and get my handicap down, I've wasted time and I've wasted money, instead of just going out and playing and enjoying it. So in a word, Rick, yes or no, should James quit golf?
He should not quit golf. I don't believe anybody should quit golf until, I don't know, when do you quit golf?
Don't quit golf, but debate quitting golf if you need to get a good YouTube video that we did a while ago. But time I quit tournament golf, it's a bit of gets a few views in.
Yeah, that was genuine though.
That
I
was
actually,
a good video.
I actually genuinely wanted to quit golf. After
well, that's
that.
A good one to watch actually. So I'm a serious note, because that time when you obviously went to Lumina, we've done a full episode on this, so we're not going to discuss it again in too much depth. But that was when you probably, from when I've known you, at your lowest in terms of golf,
yeah,
and how much you enjoyed it, and literally debated not playing golf again in the tournament, which I don't think you probably have actually. But even so, like, you were actually getting sick of the game to some degree in that
it
sense.
It was more the pressure I was putting myself on in a tournament, and wrongly, because I was putting pressure on myself without actually putting any work in. So I wasn't really practicing, I wasn't getting prepared, and then expecting to play in a tournament and play well, which is just so, you know, you can't do that in my own personal opinion.
So that was quite good.
Very good.
It was good to hear your opinion on that. if you, like James, have... Maybe this could be a new feature. It could be called Dear Rick.
Dear Rick.
And it's
okay.
Yeah, this is right, this is it now. This is a new feature. It's called Dear Rick. And for this one, for this feature only, you have to start the email with Dear Rick and Guy. Okay?
Oh.
So normally it's Hi Guy and Rick, but for Dear Rick, it's Dear Rick and Guy. Let's give Rick his moment he deserves. and if you've got we don't want it to be like too dark and down. If you've got a bit of a problem with your golf or an issue, it can be a bit nerdy and technical with your swing possibly, but more just general things, that like this is really good. Let's call it Dear Rick. Email
it. It can be anonymous.
It can be anonymous.
It might be about your family.
Yeah.
It might be about people who stop you playing golf.
Yes.
I.e. other halves.
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
Yes.
How can you get a sneaky round of golf after work?
Yes.
In work.
Also, if you ever need a forged doctor's note saying you can't be in work for a week, Dr. Shields can do that for you.
Exactly. I'm sure with a PGA you get a doctor as well.
So email us podcast@rickshields.com. And it's going to be called, I said, Dear Rick.
And you can, like, say, stay anonymous, and we'll give magazine like advice here on the podcast.
Ideally, let us know in the email if you do want to stay anonymous as well, because that does help us. We do normally email back to people that have got like ones that we're not sure on, but it would help us. So, a nice email then, Rick, that we had in this week. It's one that is borderline like what would be a Dear Rick, but. Not quite. It's from Jonathan. He's kind of borderline staying anonymous, so that's kind of all the info I'm giving on him. But it was titled A Genuine Thank You. So he kind of didn't go down the clickbait route, but it still got me.
Yeah.
And also he got me with his opening line.
We like a bit of praise.
He said, yeah, it was quite praise, but he started off, he almost went, what's the word? I'm trying to think of the phrase for this. But he put, I don't expect a response, but I really want to just say thank you. So I saw that and thought, all right, don't expect a response, don't we? You're getting a response now.
I must admit, I see a few people have done that in the past, and I'm like, clever that.
Yeah, it's
that's
like,
clever that.
Oh, so you're telling me I won't respond, aren't you? Right, okay, well, I responded.
Or something like, I know you won't read this, Rick, yeah. And you're like, well, I'm reading it. Oh, God, you've got me.
Yeah, well, you did get me. But also, it was quite, I might not read every word for it, it's quite a long email, but basically, he said, below is why/how you've helped me through a tough time. And it is quite sad to start. Towards the end of last year, my wife and I suffered a miscarriage. It's been hard to work through and hard to talk about. It's been something we've kept between us for a long time, and it felt as though we couldn't talk to our closest friends and family. So, first of all, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Yeah, really sorry to hear that.
But fortunately, it does get a lot better than that. So my brother plays off six and often invites me to go and play golf with him. But I'm never really young, so I'm awful. But in July this year, he asked me, and this time I said, yeah. And my wife said it would be good to get out and think about something else, reconnect with your brother, and you might know you might enjoy it. I went along and loved it. I loved being out, thinking about how awful my last shot was and what to do to improve next, trying to understand why I sliced every shot. Not just that, but it was great to talk to my brother, someone who I have had a good relationship with, but really we have a talk. It felt like now we had a common ground, and after a couple more rounds with him, I managed to open up about the hard times, and it helped massively. I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for going around on that first round of golf. Now to where you guys come in. After shooting 140 and a par 72, which is... If you are counting every shot...
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it is. But equally, to be fair, if you actually go out for the first ever round and count every shot and play... Because his brother's off six, I'm guessing he's maybe played properly. No, that's three off the tee. No, you knock that in.
Yeah. That's like tough brotherly love, isn't it? Like, if it was someone else, you go, oh, don't worry, just drop one down there. Yeah don't worry. But that's like, no, you're doing everything by the book here.
Yeah, exactly. So I respect that. I went home and watched loads of your videos. Perfect. Not just the tutorials, but I loved all the content. I got some cheap second-hand Dunlop clubs, hit hundreds of balls at the range, and last week, on my fifth round of 18 holes, shot 102.
Wow.
Solid. Not great, but I'm happy with seeing an improvement each time, and I can't wait to break 100. That's going to be coming soon, hasn't it? If he's on 102 already, it's coming.
I just quite like this idea. I improved him already by 38 shots.
Yeah. So if we call that a tenner a shot, he owes you £380. As for your podcast, it's been a great listen. I'm not going to say what it was for a living because I didn't want to. But he listens to it going to work. I started the podcast at the start of September, so he's a new listener. I'm loving all the episodes. I'm still on episode 15, so no spoilers. But then the only bad thing was he then put, I love the change my mind section, which we haven't done for ages, but maybe we'll do that again.
Oh, yeah.
Insightful reviews, product information, and dark discussion. So he is quite a long way away. I've had to let him down a bit. Oh, he's going to be upset, and he is the new one.
He's going to listen to this episode in, like, December?
Well, no, he has since said he's going to come and listen to it early, so he's going to be a bit disappointed that there's no darts, there's none of that stuff.
He'll be switching off.
Yeah. And then he said, the darts discussion, honesty, and it's clear friendship between you both. That's weird, because when we put these down, we don't even speak. These mics go darts. See you later, Rick.
Don't even say bye.
Yeah, you both make it sound such a joy to listen to. Da, da, da. So I know it's quite long, but just let me finish this off, because it is really good. So to top it off, I found a new hobby. Last month, we found out my wife is pregnant.
Brilliant
at 20
news.
Weeks. So that basically continued... It's a bit longer than that, but long story short, and he put again, like I said, I don't expect a response. You're very busy people. Just let you know, blah, blah, blah. So long story short, that was Jonathan. It was a lovely email, and it was great to hear. I know it was quite long-winded, so thanks to everyone for just bearing with that. But it was great to hear how Rick's videos and the podcast have helped somebody through a bit of a tough time, well, a very tough time, and get into this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, Jonathan, I've never really ever spoke about this publicly or anything, but we had our first pregnancy, had a miscarriage. Wow. And that was it's horrible. It's a horrible situation. We went for like the 12-week scan and we got bad news, and it was dreadful. It really did hit us by six, but luckily, and I know it doesn't happen for everyone, but luckily we managed to fall pregnant again and have our first. Now obviously we've got three, but yeah, it's a horrible time. So I'm glad golf managed to take your mind off it, reconnect with your brother. It's good to talk about it sometimes. I think as men we bottle things up as well,
sure,
a little bit, and I think opening up to a family member, a brother, you know, and out on the golf course, you can do that. Whether it's 2 hours playing 9 holes, 4 hours playing 18 holes, you can just chit chat. The amount of time, like my wife sort of said to me, like, let's say I've played with a few friends, oh, what do you talk about? And I'm like, I'm not actually sure what we talked about, but we never stopped talking.
Well, that's why, especially as lads or blokes or whatever, and maybe the same for women, but I can't speak on their behalf because I only really ever play with a group of my friends, but it's a mix.
And you're not a woman.
Yeah.
And you're not a woman.
Yeah, anymore. I'm joking. But, like, you go out and you talk about a mixture of the game that's literally in front of you. So, oh, that was a good shot. What'd you hit there? Did it? And a mixture of the weekend. How's work going? It's like just a mix, isn't it? And
it's a really weird mix.
It does take your mind off life.
It's just chat, but it works. It's chatting about, like, say, work, life, relationships, like sport. You know, I think again, can't speak on the female side, but as men, I think social gatherings like that, I think that's why they go to the pub. And I'm not saying that's something I'd do, but like, just chat, don't we? And I think on the golf course, that's one of the best things about golf, is that you end up just chatting. A lot of it is nonsense, a lot of it is not memorable, but it's still chit chat.
Well, you know what's so good about golf as well, and this is something I've only realised in the last kind of 6 months, maybe a year, and I don't want to sound all spiritual and stuff, because I'm not remotely, but you know, like the whole term of like mindfulness and being in the moment and not being thinking too far ahead or too, you know, thinking about what you're doing at that moment in time. And if you ever read anything about people that want to kind of feel better emotionally or whatever, or mentally, mindfulness is like the number one thing you should be doing. It's being in the moment you're in. And that can be quite hard if you're just driving the car on the motorway, just to be constantly thinking about you're in the car. But when you're on the golf course, actually, certainly in a four ball or playing with friends, you literally spend so much time thinking about, right, how I'm going to play this shot. And you hit the shot. Oh, that wasn't the best shot. I should hit this. And what you actually kind of realise is a side effect of playing golf. You're in the moment.
Yeah.
You almost don't get a chance to, like, although it's a long walk and it's 4 hours long, but if you're playing, like, with friends, certainly, there's so much going on. And you actually, for that 4 hours, you are in the moment.
Yeah.
And even if you've got problems at home to then go back to, you've had 4 hours escapism to actually think, you know, life's not too bad after all.
Exactly.
So that was quite deep, that, but I enjoyed that, Rick. So one more little email, and then we'll come on to what's probably going to be the biggest part of the podcast today, which we've talked about.
And we need to come on to Ben. We need to talk about US Open.
We've got a
little bit.
This could be a long one today. We've got a few people keep staring at us because that's outside with microphones.
We're literally outside with microphones and headphones on. Again, look at the Instagram page to see what we look like. But yeah, a lot of people are looking at us, but who cares, eh?
So we've got...
Hopefully, for me, I don't know, it sounds really nice.
It does, like, so far. We're going to listen back, it's going to be horrendous, we have to do it all again.
But I quite like the birds chirping in the background, a little bit of greenkeeper noise as well, so no, it's very
also
nice.
Also, actually something, Rick, just, I've not even told you this yet, but most people listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify. I think a few people listen on Google, but we've now listened to iHeartRadio.
Wow.
We've got acceptance to iHeartRadio. Annoyingly, I had a look, tried to download the app this morning. I don't think iHeartRadio app is available in the UK. I may be wrong. But if you are in the US and iHeartRadio is your preferred platform and you know, listen on that, do go over and subscribe, because you may as well subscribe on every... That would be quite good, actually, if you could subscribe on every different platform. Even if you only listen on one, subscribe on them all.
And listen on all three.
Yeah, listen again.
It all counts,
again.
You know what I mean? Just put it on repeat when you go to bed. Yeah. It'll certainly make you sleep.
Right, so it's time for your theme tune.
Da, 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 da.
Yep, listener of the week. That's not how it originally started, but that's what it's formed into. It's possibly not, and I'm going to say it now, I'm going to be open, it's not the best we've ever had.
Okay.
I was in need of one last night, and I just found one that was half decent. So it's from Mark Hawkins, who seems like quite a banter man. He seems quite like... cocky
man.
And quite... So I don't think he'll mind me saying that his email wasn't the best ever. But it's, hi, Guy and Rick, huge fan of the podcast, quite new to golf. Played as a teenager and I was horrendous, so gave up quickly and started playing again about 2 years ago. But then he put, due to work commitments, brackets, I'm in the military, close brackets. So I kind of thought, he's put that in there because he knows that
flex. He's
going to get a bit of a flex. I'm going to respect him, obviously, for that. And he's probably going to get his listener of the week for being in the military. So fair dues, you are, Mark. at the end of his email, he's also, you can tell he's like a military guy. He's put,
is he from the US?
Well, I don't know, because normally military is a US term, isn't it? But is it?
I just feel, I mean,
rightly
so.
He's got a .co.uk email address.
Oh, right. Because military in the US, and rightly so, gets so many, you know,
like
perks
and
advantages and stuff.
Yeah,
and rightly so, I don't think we do that in the UK. Even like, you know, when they take the luggage off the carousel in America, like the US military bags come out first and all sorts. Yeah, sorry, anyway. And like boarding the plane, they go on first. Anyway, carry on.
No, it's he then said, I can go months at a time without picking up a club. I spent the first 6 months of the year in a foreign country and I'm currently abroad again, 2 weeks down, six to go. Whilst away, I spend hours watching your videos, either on Facebook or YouTube. Please give me a shout-out for Listener of the Week. So he's put some screenshots. He's done standard. He's gone for subscribing to the YouTube channel. Follows Rick on Insta. Follows a new at the Rick Shields Golf Show on Insta. Follows on Facebook. Is a member of the podcast group. He's subscribed to the podcast and given it a five-star review. So he's not gone down the route of your Twitters, your TikToks, etc., your second YouTube channel. But he's in the military. he's a bit of a banter man. He's put on his signature from Mark Hawkins. And in the middle, he's put like his nickname must be like Chunk. But then he's put like brackets around the C, so it's like Hunk.
Oh, nice.
So Mark Hawkins, as you listen to this, hopefully you're safe wherever you are. But you are this week's Listener of the Week, brought to you by Rick Shields Golf Media.
Right, US Open week.
Yes.
Wing foot looks ridiculous.
Okay.
How much have you seen of it?
Not a lot.
So
I'm going to watch it this weekend, though.
The golf course, based in New York, it looks out of this world, super long, as most open golf courses, as most major tournaments are. The rough... You see all the... How many times have you seen a ball being dropped from waist high into rough and the ball disappears?
Yeah.
So it shows, obviously, the rough's pretty mean. Obviously, Tiger's back in the field. A lot of massive names. I feel really sorry for Sam Horsfield, who hopefully we're going to do some videos with in the future. He's done really well over here in the UK. Won two tournaments in the English swing. He actually had tested and got positive for coronavirus, so he's had to pull out, which is a nightmare. So hopefully he'll have many more opportunities to play in the US Open, I'm sure, but it must be devastating. But yeah, it should be good. I'm hoping that...
It's going to be DJ winning it.
Yeah. I wonder if Rory's going to do well after the birth of his little girl, or whether I don't know whether that makes any difference, whether it takes his mind off it. As we
well, there was actually a thing recently. What sport was it now? I can't remember, but bear with me. There was a thing that apparently when athletes have a birth of a child, if they've actually gone on to perform the following. It was Danny Willett. Was Danny Willett?
Yeah.
And Sergio, possibly. Well, oh, no, Sergio was after, I think.
Well, Danny Willett, yeah, it must have been after because he called his baby Azalea. Like the plant.
Yeah.
Danny Willett was a weird one because he got into the Masters. His wife fell pregnant and it fell around the time of the Masters. So he was kind of borderline not going to play. The baby came early. He jumped on a plane, played in the Masters, won it, done. Like, I think he went in with no expectation level. I mean, that was a mad one. But yeah, I think it's going to be good. Wingfoot looks incredible. I'd love to play that place. But like I say, the golf course and Tiger, and it's a major. And then not long, it'll be the Masters. And then in 6 months again, it'll be the Masters again. I feel like we've got a good lineup of golf.
I'm going to make a commitment this weekend. I've just you know, Now TV that's available in the UK.
Yeah.
You can watch all these Sky Sports because the football season's now restarted. I've got an offer. I call it an offer. It's still quite expensive. It's £25 a month for Now TV. So you get all the Sky Sports channels. So I'm going to make a commitment to watch as much as I can this weekend of the golf. And on Sunday night in particular, if it's New York, it won't be too far behind as well. It'll be like hours
maybe.
Fine,
that.
So I'm going to try and watch all of that on Sunday, or all the... the close of play on Sunday. On the podcast next Tuesday, I'll be like a proper golf nerd. And
okay.
I'll be like, oh, God, Patrick Reed's strokes gained going down 18. Oh, man. Oh, God.
You'll know that guy. What's he called? Higgins.
Yeah. That's
I can't remember his name now, but something Higgins.
So next week's podcast, about one of these really cool American, like, golf podcasts.
We
all have nicknames. We call him Deej, the Goat. we'll be talking about Tradge. Like, yeah.
He's going to turn into No Laying Up, basically. We'll have to come up with a nickname for you. Like Guy the Man. Guy Dog.
Yeah, that'd be good. By the way, Ray, don't look now, but there's a group of lads behind you, well, quite far away, and in the UK now, it's 23 minutes past 10 in the morning. They're drinking pints.
Oh, respect that.
Pints of lager. See, I don't. That makes me feel sick.
I like that.
On the other side, there's a really grown-up man and lady drinking bottles of Highland Spring water, and that's so much more my scene. Really relaxed. And Rick's looking over now awkwardly. The lads over there as well are, I don't know if they're on like a golf weekend, but they don't look like, they look, there's about eight of them. There's a couple lads on the Coke on one table. Not Coke, Coca-Cola, sorry, on one table. That's a table
that I'd
be
on. Party.
That's like the kind of sensible lads. I think they're probably texting the girlfriends like, oh yeah, we had a quiet one last night. We're going to play 18 holes. And the other side of the table, the one that Rick would be on, the danger lads.
Hungover but having another pint just to get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's where me and
Rick differ, isn't it, Rick?
Yeah, definitely. When it comes to alcohol and lad bants. I'm just a bantosaurus, you know me.
Well, now I've got the main event, the main course, the creme de la creme.
Very quick one.
Go on, okay.
We'll follow back on Ben's question.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Seeing that we just finished.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I forgot what it was already now.
Do you think tour players enjoy golf more than amateurs?
No, I don't. I think they enjoy getting paid, obviously.
I think they see it much more of a job.
To work.
Yeah.
What I sometimes think is weird as sportsmen, and I've heard rumours that Molinari's got a couple of years left and he's gone. Francesco, he's done, he's retiring, he's earned a load of money, he's won a major, he's done. Is he the most decorated Italian golfer ever? As far as I know, he is. Unless it was somebody years ago, but as far as I can think, he's the most.
I think so.
So we've got a legend.
You're probably going to miss someone then, obviously.
Probably. But not like I think. Unless it was someone in the 60s or the early
90s. I don't think so.
I don't know. But as far as I know, he's the most decorated Italian golfer. So he can go and. I think he actually wants to live in America, but let's just say, you know, retire or whatever and be absolutely wedged, do whatever he wants to do. But what I don't get more often with golfers is they must still love it and be determined to win events because they could, like, Poulter, for example. I'm going to put my neck out. So he's probably never going to win a major now. I might be wrong. I would like him to. He's probably never going to win a major. He might still win some PGA Tour events, I guess. But he could retire now and never have to work again. And now he might be a bit bored, obviously. But he must still love the game to some degree. He doesn't need to play.
Mm.
So he must still enjoy it to some degree. Whereas Tiger's a different... The money's irrelevant to Tiger. He wants to beat Jack.
So if you were to put... Name me five golfers... who, a bit like Tiger, it's irrelevant now. They're just trying to make history. Tiger?
I want to say Rory, but I think Rory still likes the dough.
Yeah. He's not about history, is he?
I think he...
DJ?
I think DJ could be.
I think Bryson is about history.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's about the money, but I think he's about history.
I would have put
Brooks is all about money.
Yeah. I would have put Rory on the history side of things, but then that comment he made at that, what was that mic'd up event where he said, like...
Oh, he did that stupid thing to Matt Wolf, talking about how he's got this put, how he's held bigger puts to win $10 million before.
Yeah. I think, what about someone like a Justin Rose? Like, he's in the middle, because he's never going to become a... He might win more majors, I hope he does, I do like Justin Rose. But he's never going to become a Tiger level, where he's got more, you know, that many majors. Mm. But equally, he could comfortably retire tomorrow. So I wonder if he's like... They all must have. That's the interesting thing. They've all got separate goals, haven't
100%.
They? 100%. Like, what's Rory got now? 4 majors.
Yeah.
Will he be thinking, I want to get to double figures in my career?
Yeah. You'd think he should be doing. Do you know what I mean?
Well, then he's not won one since 2015, is it? Or 14?
I don't know off the top of my head. Again,
he's 14.
We're not proper golf podcast here, but as in, like, what I find fascinating is, like you say, those kind of middle of the range, like a Stuart Sink. Mm. He's just won this weekend, like, yeah, out of nowhere. What makes him get to every event every week? And he'll be living a lovely lifestyle, don't get me wrong, but he's not living Tiger Woods' lifestyle. Like, that's a different level again, isn't it?
Yes.
And like Poulter, actually, this is a really interesting one with Poulter. So I love him, Poulter, on Instagram. I think he's probably I honestly think he's the best tour player on Instagram.
He's up there.
I do. I think he's really, you know, he shows a really nice side to his life. Obviously, it's still private jets and fancy cars. I get that. But he shows his kids, his, you know, cooking, daily life. I do like what Poulter does. But he mentioned this weekend, so he dropped his eldest daughter off at university. She's starting university or whatever. And he mentioned how he hates golf for all the things that he's missed with his family. Mm. And I don't know if that he was saying he hates golf still now because he's still missing things, or whether he can pick and choose a bit more.
Surely he can pick and choose now.
But like, I kind of get that. Like, I kind of get there must be a level of resent sometimes, because golf would have taken so much off these players from a lifestyle situation, i.e., memories that they might have missed. But
I get it, but at the same time,
loads of money.
I know, but at the same time, you might have a single mother in London in a council flat with four kids who works three jobs and has to miss loads of stuff. Like, I just don't know how relatable that is.
100%.
Like, when he was younger, Poulter, I'm sure he was grinding every day. His eldest daughter's, what, 18, I think, because she's going to uni. Yeah. So 18 years ago, my math's going to be rubbish. So 20 years ago, it was 2000 and... What year are we in that? 2000. Yeah. So it was 2002. When he was on the scene then, so he was doing all right. So since then, I don't know. It's hard to say, isn't it, really?
I mean, like I say, we'd never know until you actually... If it'd be really interesting if you...
A lot of time away from home, admittedly.
A lot of time away from home. A lot of travel. And again, there's different lifestyles. There's the private jet travel, which is amazing, I'm sure. And then there's the still got to slug it in commercial. I mean, obviously, they're still probably flying first class. And yeah. I'm not sorry for any of these guys, I'm sure. But, like, it must be really somewhat challenging.
The only ones I actually borderline do feel sorry for is guys that are on the European tour or Challenge tour who are struggling, because it's not... I remember I knew a lad that played in the Open. He's been on the Challenge tour. He's actually won the Challenge tour. I was at the range a couple of years ago, and he was there, and he said, I've got to go soon. I'm going over to Ireland for a Challenge Tour event. Now, on paper, that sounds class. You're going to Ireland to play golf, but it wasn't. He was not doing amazing. He had to pay, obviously, his own money, obviously, to get a flight to Ireland, stay in a rubbish hotel with another lad because it was as cheap as it could be, play two rounds of golf. If you missed the cut, you've not made a penny, literally not a penny. If you make the cut and you finish 20-odd, you might get a grand or something, which sounds great. Oh, grand for playing golf. But then you take your tax off that, take your airfare, take your hotel, take your petrol, take your rental car. You're coming home after a week's work. Coming home after a week's work, and you might have like £50.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
So in one way, you're a professional golfer, and you could make it and live the dream, but equally, it's a graft.
Yeah, it's really hard. I think golfers who, tour pros, who still love it, are the tour pros who still play when they're not getting paid.
Mm.
I.e., they'll go and play with the pals.
Yeah.
Or they'll go and just knock it around, or they'll, you know, what? It's hard. I don't know the ins and outs of every single player, but... it's an interesting one.
It is.
We should put it maybe on the Facebook podcast group and see what people say. I don't think I have a definitive answer, because then we're not going to go into the whole of the amateur side. The amateurs probably don't enjoy it because they don't play as good a golf as they should do, or they don't. You know, it would be amazing to have the luxury of playing like a tour player with your mates every weekend.
Yeah.
But earn the money that you a tour player. Like, I don't think that life exists. Well, it doesn't. Anyway,
that was good. I like it when we plan these podcasts. We've got three things to talk about, and all of a sudden we're talking. How long are we on already?
40 minutes, and we've not even gone to the main.
Not even, yeah, right. So, the main event was. So, I've been struggling with driving, Rick, as you well know. And my current driver is a Cobra Speed Zone Extreme.
You just hit and miss with it.
It's just hit and miss with
like,
it.
Like, when you're on, you're ridiculous.
Yeah, when it's off, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
So, my old driver, last year's driver, was a TaylorMade M5, which I would say, and this isn't a club review, I would say the M5, the middle of the face, goes further than the Cobra.
Okay.
And it feels more powerful. However, my bad shot with the TaylorMade is even worse. Okay, so I'd lent the M5 to my brother. He used it for a little while. He wasn't so keen, so he gave me back. So on Saturday, one of my friends was going to the driving range. He's called The Dope.
Okay.
His nickname's The Dope.
Nice.
And I went down as well with him.
The Dope.
The Dope. So I took both my drivers to the driving range. Now, The Dope's driver, he's got a ping. The header flew off it. So he's getting it fixed for free, right? So he's got no driver. So we're hitting balls next to each other. I've got two drivers. I think I'm looking forward to trying the M5 again, see if I can get it going, and I might put it back in the bag. And weirdly, I kind of like, this sounds so sad, I kind of like the idea of having an old-ish driver in the bag. I know it's not old, but like a two seasons old driver or whatever. Hit the M5, it was going horrendous. Went back to the Cobra, Cobra's going fine. So anyway, The Dope then says, can I have a go with your TaylorMade? He's hitting it, he's quite a strong lad, he's hitting it well. Downside is for him, he's got a very low, he's quite like across the line, he's got a low launch, I got a bit of spin, but good speed. Probably 110 mile an hour clubhead speed. So anyway, I said, let me just tweak it for you. I said, I don't want to be like a gimp tweaking. But anyway, so I gave him a bit more loft. I moved one weight to the front for a bit of a lower spin because I'd added up the loft. And then one weight towards the heel because he's a bit fade biased. He was crunching it, like absolutely smoking it. Like, not quite as long as me, but longer than you. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah,
that kind of dip. So it's like 6 yards less than me, 6 yards more than you. So then he was like, oh, God, it's nice. I said, you can have it if you want to buy it off me. I went, can I? So I had a look on eBay. The going rate for a good condition M5 is like well over 200 quid, right? So I said, The Dope, if you want this driver, it's yours for 150. He was like, seriously? I said,
Barking.
Yeah. It's got a Kurokagi shaft in it, Tainai 60X.
Nice.
It's got a multi-compound black and white
head
cover.
Sold it to him.
He wanted it already. I didn't have to sell it to him. He snapped my hand off.
Been hit 20 times.
Yeah. Give it him. A little bank transfer later. Money's in my bank. Driver's in his bag. Everyone's happy, okay? So then I got thinking, although I'm happy to sell that to him because I don't use it anymore, has anybody ever bought, because he got a bargain, have you ever had a golf club that you've bought for an absolute steal that's like the best club ever? And equally, on the flip side, have you ever sold a golf club for cheap and absolutely regretted it years later down the line? So we asked this on Facebook, which I'm not going to come on to yet. We've had some really good answers on Facebook. I've also asked you, Rick, off podcast, and I'm ready for your story in 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, I've got a really interesting one, okay? And I'm going to tell one story about one club.
Yeah.
Because I actually can answer the same question with just one club.
Okay.
So when I was a junior golfer, I was a pretty decent putter when I was junior. I'd like to think I was a pretty decent putter. I'd say it was one of my strengths. And the putter I loved, like literally loved, it was the best putter I ever used. You know, I think it's one of the best selling putters ever. Was the Odyssey 2 ball.
Yes.
The original.
OG.
OG, white face.
White and black grip.
White and black grip. Slight kink in the neck. Yeah. I can't remember what you call the neck shape now. Like literally the original one. And when used with the Callaway Rule 35 golf ball, because that was the same cover,
yeah,
it felt just unbelievable.
Do you remember that Callaway Rule 35 said Callaway in a different way? It had in a straight line as opposed to the traditional Callaway logo.
Why was that?
Just that it was the first golf balls introduced, the red and the blue. The color Rule 35. Blue was softer, red was firmer. I'm a nerd, aren't I? And it just had
they
tried to use a different logo. They had it like I don't know if it was easy to print, but it had like a straight font. And then the next line that came out was curved. Anyway.
Because and it was called Rule 35 because there's 34 rules in golf.
Yeah, that was like the 35th rule to use this ball or whatever. Yeah.
So anyway, I love this putter. Absolutely loved it. Amazing, right? As you do as a kid, things don't last forever.
No.
And I ended up, you know, I think I acquired a Scotty Cameron putter, which, the one I'd refurbished, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Trillium one, which is amazing. That was a bargain. So that was actually, I think I might have even won that off another junior. So
in a putting comp.
Like, literally not even paid a penny for it. It's unbelievable. I've had it refurbished in the last couple of years, and it's stunning. So that's kind of another angle. Anyway, long story short, I ended up selling the two-ball putter for dirt cheap. Let's say 30 quid, right? After buying it for 150 quid probably at the time when it was out.
I think they were either 139 or 149. So
So I sold it for dirt cheap as a junior again. I probably just wanted a couple of chip butties, you know, a pack of balls and a new glove.
Once that 30 quid's gone, it's the worst. You've spent the money. You think, oh, I could have had a two ball in my hand and now I've got nothing.
Like, business sense was not definitely a junior's forte. I feel like juniors are the most savvy now. I feel like they could use things. They can go on golf bidder and things like that, can't they? Like,
true.
When I was a kid, I had no idea. If someone offered me 30 quid cash.
Oh, yeah, cash.
In the back pocket.
But for 24 hours, you were a baller.
I was making probably £5.50 a week on a paper round. So give me 30 quid cash, and it's like burning the hole in my pocket.
What Rick's not telling you is once you get that £30, he rung up the local news agency and went, you know that job? Yeah, shove it up your ass.
I made it now.
5 weeks later, he rang back. It's Richard here.
5 weeks, 2 days later. I'll be back in on Monday, guys. I spent it. So, yeah, sold it for stupid money. Really regretted it because I absolutely love that putter. But to be fair, I had the Trillium for a while. So then, fast forward. Let's think how many years this would have been. 10, 11 years, I'd say, right? I'm working in the pro shop at Mere Golf and Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Sunday afternoon.
Jaylen DeBerg.
I'm kind of making this up. This head bit to toe in Jaylen
DeBerg.
Yeah, I would have been. White belt, sweatbands on, visor, stripe, pinstripe.
Bit of a mullet hair, maybe?
Pinstripes. Baby face, no beard. Working in the pro shop, probably slightly hungover. Sick of selling chocolate bars and Mars bars. Mars bars and Cokes and whatever. Watching the sports on TV. Yeah. No customers on Sunday afternoon.
Rick had an iPhone 4 and he's doing Facebook stages like, he just put like, Rick Shields is hungover and tired, CBA WID work. WID. Not with, WID work.
You literally nailed it. That is exactly me. I had a little Citroen C2. I had it low and I had 20 inch rims on it, which were way too big. So yeah, I'm in the pro shop, bored out my head, thinking I want to finish the job now. Not the actual job, but today, the day of work. Late in the day, some unsuspected customer walks in, right? Mm-hmm. Thinking, bloody hell, I'm watching football here on the TV. Like, why have you walked in? By the way, this is what goes through every assistant pro's head.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. If you walk in at a pro shop before closing hours, this is what's going through an assistant's head. So he starts looking at the putters, right? Thinking, bloody hell. We had a little putting green out, you know, near the putter rack. So he's rolling a few and, you know, he found himself being fond of a particular putter. I can't quite remember what it was now, right? So anyway, he comes to the till. And it was quite a pricey putter. I think it was like nearly 200 quid. He comes to the till and says, you know, I want to buy this putter, please. I went, all right, not a problem. You know, thinking, that was pretty easy. Thinking, oh, now I've got to go in the back, find the head cover.
Yeah, it's always lost.
Oh, for God's sake. Right, okay. If you have to buy it, okay. So he also said, is there any discount on it? I said, well, there isn't. It's like a new range putter, blah, blah, blah. He said, do you do part exchange? And technically, no, we didn't. Mm. We didn't do part exchange at the pro shop. It just wasn't anything we ever did. And I said, no, but what is, I was interested, what is it you've got? And he said, well, actually, it's a Odyssey.
Ooh.
Two ball.
Oh.
And I'm thinking,
yeah.
The Holy Grail.
Talk to me.
An Odyssey 2 ball. You want to trade an Odyssey 2 ball in for this putter, yeah, right? So suddenly my ears picked up. Suddenly we did do part exchange,
yeah, of
right?
course.
So I went, bring it in. You know, I think I might have acted a bit cool. Oh, yeah, bring it in, whatever, you know, if you have to.
Yeah.
So he went to his car, brought the Odyssey 2 ball in, and it was amazing. It literally, original grip, original head cover. It was in pristine condition. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, this is instantly, I was thrown back 10, 11 years on the putting green at my local golf course, mm-hmm, holding everything, using my Callaway Rule 35 ball. Yeah. Like, it all came flooding back to me. I was there. I was in the moment. So at this point, I was teaching. I had a bit of cash in my back pocket. I wasn't shy of, you know, a bit of hard work. So I thought to myself, okay, this could be a little opportunity here. He wants to trade this putter in. He wants money off this putter that he's going to buy in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't technically do trade-ins.
I can see where this is going.
So I thought, right, let's think of something here. So as I'm rooting in the back for his head cover, let's call he was buying a ping putter, right, let's say. So I'm rooting in the back, finding this ping redwood, you know the really fancy one. Because I think that's what it might have been. Getting it out, bringing it out, and thinking to myself, how can I get this two ball? I want that two ball. Like, I want it. It's mine. Give it to me. So I came out and I thought to myself, well, hold on. How much technically is this going to be sold for now? Because it's a long time now.
Yeah.
This is 40 years, 10, 11 years past now. This is a relic.
Mm.
Even though technically on GolfBidder or eBay, they're going for fortunes because it's super rare now. So I thought, I'm going to offer him cash in his hand.
An offer he can't refuse.
So I said, okay, not a problem. Well, you know, we can, this puts us 100 quid, 200 quid, let's say. If you're going to trade in the Odyssey, we'll knock you 40 quid off So 160 quid cash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or on the card. And you can have that ping putter.
Yeah.
And he went, all right, okay. Yeah, okay. So he paid £160.
Yeah. You chucked in the 40.
I chucked in the 40 once he left the shop.
Yeah.
You had so so £200 in the till for the ping putter, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I now, after 11 years and £10 of difference.
Net loss.
Net loss, a pound per year, which I could live with.
Yeah.
In my hand again, I had my Odyssey two-ball putter. And you know what? To the degree, I actually think it was mine. I think full circle, that putter, it found me.
That story is, there's actually those lads drinking beer in the corner. There's a tear in their eye. There's one of them that can't cope. He's just got a little finger in his eye wiping out the tears. Emotional.
I mean, that talk about... and I've still, to this day, I've still got now, Guy.
Yeah, still got it.
I have now, at home, my Odyssey 2 ball, still in pristine condition, and my Scotty Cameron Trillium putter. So, you look, hey, 11-year-old Rick, back in old, you know...
Knew what he was doing.
Back in those days, he knew what he was doing. He knew that that was the right business sense, because I got a free putter Scotty Cameron off a mate on a putting comp. I spent my £30 and felt like a baller for the weekend.
Yeah.
10 years later, I'm £10 worse off, granted, but I've got my putter back.
It's a good story, that. I enjoyed that. I don't know how long it went on for, but I can't moan. It kept me entertained.
I actually have got another one, but we'll keep it at that.
Yeah, maybe say that for next week, because we might get some more emails in. But it feels like, from what I'm seeing online, that a lot of the regrets are putters, and I've done it myself. I remember selling, it's not quite as good a story as that, but I had the Yes putter, Tracy 2, nice. Which was pure. And for about 6 months, I worked behind a bar in a local pub, and a few of the blokes there started playing golf, and I was off like 5 at the time, so they all thought I was the best thing about golf ever. And I had this Yes putter, and I think I got a Scotty or whatever, and one of them said, I'll give you like 40 quid for it. Sold it. At the time, 40 quid, great. Now, I'd love to have that. Yeah, it's the one that Fitzpatrick was using. Yeah, yeah, and there was like a copy version made now. But we've got some off Facebook. So we've had one from Sean. He said, I traded in a Scotty Cameron Studio Select about 10 years ago. Absolutely regretted it ever since. I got like £90 for it, and now selling for like £200.
Ouch.
So that's,
that'd be one that you'd really kick yourself if you sold a, like a limited
don't
edition.
Don't sell a Scotty unless you have to.
Imagine if you'd sold one of those original ping putters, you know, the ping answers, yeah, where the serial number on the back is like, because I always remember, again, when I used to work at Mere, and I used to see a lot of golf clubs, a lot of old members there, and I'd, you know, look in the bags every now and again, or they're on the putting green and they've got a ping answer. I'd be like, let's have a look at a ping answer. And I'd be obsessed with the serial number. Because I think I learned it online, whatever. I never found one. But they went for like thousands and thousands.
On a bit of more good news, though, Mike Cook, he picked up a bargain. He has said, I bought a set of Callaway X-Forge 2009, which are I think they're the quite nice ones, small head, 80 quid after having all my clubs stolen. Even though I've since bought tailor-made PSIs and then, you know, JPX 919, I still keep going back to them. Yeah, don't sell them.
Yeah.
We've then got one off Martin, who says, I bought a Ping Crazy Mallet off a mate for 25 quid. Still love the putter, and I thought it was a bargain at the time. It is, to be fair.
Yeah, that's
this is a big
putter.
One from Ryan Harper. I regret getting rid of my Titleist 910D driver.
Ooh,
I bought the best upgrade to a new model a few years ago and bought the Callaway Rogue. Sometimes a new model that goes a few yards further is still not worth it. I miss the sound of flight of my 910, which I get.
Well, in the golf bit of challenge I did a couple of years ago with Pete, and I put a really classic Titleist driver in the bag.
That
can't
was
remember
the,
which one
it was.
It was
the 907.
Yeah. And I loved it that much. I ended up buying it from Golf Bidder and actually keeping it because I just thought it was
great
too
driver.
Good not to have. I want it.
Another good one from Matthew. He's Matthew Lister. He said, I bought a second-hand tailor-made R11 driver from a granddad for his birthday. I paid 30 quid at the pro shop. He's had it for about 4 years and said he'll never swap it because it's that good.
Wow.
And then the last one is actually from The Dope. He's joined the podcast. Andy Gillespie, his actual real name
He got ripped off by
he's,
an M5
quite
driver.
Quite a good little comment. He's bought, got an M5 driver yesterday for a bargain price. Only problem is, have to wait for the greens clear on par fours now.
Flex.
Nice. So that was good. I think that maybe, again, next week we'll roll this over. If you've got any clubs that you've bought for an absolute bargain and you made up with, let us know. And equally, if you've sold anything for certainly two less, that's even better. Email us, podcast@richshields.com, and let us know, because they were quite interesting.
Yeah.
It might not be a, it won't be a weekly feature as such, but definitely like to see that carried over into next week and see what we've got. And then kind of lastly, Rick,
I've got some questions.
We've got a few, yeah.
I'm going to read them out quickly, actually.
Great, go for it.
On the Instagram.
On the Instagram.
I'm going to read this one out first because I've seen this comment a few times and I think I would be delighted with it and my wife would be even more delighted with it. After watching The Fall on Netflix, I'm sure Rick is also Emmett J. Scanlon. Have you seen him?
No. I've heard The Fall's going to be really good.
Ridiculously good look. Like, he's like a god. So yeah, thank you for that. He does. This guy does, yeah. I don't ask. Anyway, do we have a Rick head cover going on sale soon or what? Soon. Ooh. I have been talking with the head cover company and we're changing the design slightly because I don't believe we can have the Nike swoosh on it. But stay tuned. I might do some giveaways first and then start selling them. We'll see what happens. Idea. Out of all the clubs you have tested, what is your favourite one?
Oof. It's hard to say.
That's really hard to say. Honestly, and I don't think it's going to go down dead well, the Swingless Golf Club.
Yeah. Like, what it is.
Like, that is literally the best of the best. I don't think there's not a standout club that I've ever tested and gone, that's amazing. New Studio Irons. What's that? I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Do you think you'll be playing golf with Gareth Bale anytime soon?
Well, he's possibly... There's rumours that he's going to be coming to United now.
Is it like loan
on a 12-month loan? I don't know if that's going to happen. He's not playing at Real Madrid, is he? Zidane doesn't like him, I don't think. So if someone can pay his wages for a year...
Exactly. What would you do if you won the lottery?
That's one I screenshotted. What would you do? He could probably have to downsize from his castle to something a bit smaller.
I'm not sure. I feel like I had more. I feel like if you asked me 5 or 6 years ago, or probably even before that, I had a really structured plan about what I'd do. And now I'm like, I'm not really.
You know what? I always think if I had an unlimited budget of money, I'm not that into cars, but I'd like to have 3 cars.
Yeah, I would.
So
sporty.
I'd have a sports car, like a Lambo. Well, actually, a Ferrari drove past me yesterday, actually. A red one, standard. And part of me thought, you know what? Genuinely, if I could only have one car now, it wouldn't be a Ferrari. I don't actually like them that much. However,
no, if you could have three
cars. If I had three, I'd have a Ferrari, a McLaren style. That I'm not getting to the specific. I don't know cars that well, so I don't want to get too down into specifics.
I'd probably pre-order the Tesla Roadster.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, fair.
I'd have like an R8.
Something like that as one. That's like your show-off car.
Yeah, that's your weekend.
You know what that is? This is what, for Rick, that would be. You're going out with Claire for a meal in like a Manchester on like
no
a Friday
kids.
Night. No kids. You park on WL Lines. So what if you get fined 50 quid? That's literally change. Throw it at the parking man. After that, bang.
Painting a nice picture.
That's one. Yeah. That's not really Rick, but let's pretend it is.
License plate YouTube 1.
Yeah.
YouTube 1 mil.
Then you've got your more like daily driver, which for me, I'm seen as like a bigger car. So not a 4x4 yet. That's my third choice. But something like a BMW 8 Series or an Audi S8 or something that's like bigger. It's your family style car. It's still absolutely rapid. Or you could even go Tesla Model S, done up to the max.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you've got your 4x4.
Yeah.
We're talking your massive Range Rover.
Yeah.
Your BMW X7 they've got now, which is huge. Something like that, which is like going over for a golf weekend. I need luggage.
Yeah.
I need speed. Yeah. I need comfort. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'd probably... The only thing I would possibly change in that lineup, I probably wouldn't go saloon. I'd probably go the sports car.
Yeah.
A big car for the family.
Like a 4x4
style. Like a 4x4. And then weirdly, like a really cool pickup.
Okay.
Don't know why.
You know what else I really like as well? Sometimes it with like footballers when they have almost like an almost a... Is it Kante or someone who's a famous footballer has like a Mini? And I don't know why.
A really cool Mini.
I quite like the ad, like, have like a normal car as well.
Do you know why? So let's say, right now, I drive a fairly big car. Me, I hate just going to Sainsbury's.
Yeah,
just around the corner from me, I hate it because I'm like, I've got to park it. I always have to park it miles away because the parking space is way too small. And I wouldn't want to take the sports car.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't, flex if I've got parking. But just 5 minutes around the corner, going a really zooped up Mini that sounds mint, that you can just stick anywhere because it's dead tiny.
I like that. See, I was going to upgrade to an E-Class Merc, but the Golf's just more practical. Can't go wrong with a good old-fashioned diesel golf, and you know it's true. One quick one then, actually, another one I quite like off Marcus Rees. I don't quite know if he's correct in saying this, but let's listen to it anyway. He said, why do Titleist sponsor lots of players, but TaylorMade sponsor a handful of big names? So I think what he's meaning is Titleist sponsor a lot of people for golf ball, because that's Titleist, if you don't know, their main part of the business really is golf ball, isn't it?
It started off as golf ball.
I think it still is the main focus, really. It's where the most money is. Whereas TaylorMade, for example, do through the bag deals now with your Tigers, your Jason Days, your Rory's, Dustin Johnson's, Matt Wolf's, Colin Morikawa.
Spot on.
Probably forgotten somebody there, inevitably say DJ. So they're more about your...
Say Tiger.
Yeah. Of course I said Tiger.
Sorry, I was reading questions.
They're
there.
More your absolute marquee names. But to tell you, I don't know actually from an ROI point if it... I'm sure it does pay off because he wouldn't be still doing it. But recently the...
Did you say Matt Wolf, Jason Day?
I said, yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right. But recently the marketing stuff on like the YouTube channel that TaylorMade's been doing, utilising their athletes, is outstanding.
Yeah, it's so good.
It is. Regardless if you like TaylorMade clubs or not, the way they have those golfers to... make content for them in this day and age of mobile content or whatever, it's so good.
Well, they literally have a day with them, don't they?
Yeah.
And they do all the fancy commercials, all with the cool music and the, you know, to be fair, they really do put some really good edited stuff together, TaylorMade, with the commercials and stuff, but they're really cool adverts, hitting drones out the sky and all this cool stuff. And that's really good for TV and it's really good for mainstream. But then there's been uploading some stuff onto YouTube, which is just raw.
Well,
behind the scenes, like no music, just roll the cameras and just clip things together.
Well,
and they did like a longest drive tournament. They did like a shortest drive tournament. Yeah, DJ and Jason Day. But I loved, like, it's
well,
so
have
engaging.
You seen
it's
when
so clever.
England football team have a tournament or a match. A couple of days before, all the players go to St. George's Park. I think it's the Midlands, where it's like their training facility to stay there. And on the England football YouTube channel, they always do this video and it sounds so rubbish on paper, but it's absolute class. And literally all it is like a fly on the wall for like 10 minutes of filming the players arriving.
So good.
So it shows like a Mercedes, the standard like big black things, pull up, slide in door, Marcus Rashford jumps out. Next thing, Harry Kane. And
you want to see what trainers he's wearing? Has he got AirPods? Has he got Bose on? Has he got wired
Exactly.
Headphones?
They come out. And they always shake hands, but they can't. They're met by some England staff. It's like, hi, Marcus. Hi, Harry. How are you? Oh, yeah, I'm great. That's where you need to get your little bag from with your room key in it. We're going down there for lunches at 12. And then it just shows the players then meeting. Oh, yeah, mate. How's it going? And honestly, it's class because it's so kind of raw.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's what TaylorMade need to do more of. Just imagine showing the start of the day where all the players meet. There's Tiger, Jason Day, Rory. That'd be sick.
Yeah, it'd be really, really good. Yeah, so what was the question?
That was why did TaylorMade have less players than Titleist?
And then I think Titleist do somewhat blanket cover a lot of, what's the right word? Reliable golfers. Like, most of the time, if you looked at the top 10 of players on the PGA Tour, European Tour, there's going to be a Titleist representative up there of some degree, with all Titleist out, probably wearing FootJoy, you know, probably a bit like an Ian Poulter type character, where it's just, you know what you're going to get to some degree. But like I say, I think from what I understand, obviously TaylorMade dropped a lot of players last year, and they're spending a lot of money
on the big guys,
on six or seven of the biggest of the biggest of the biggest.
That's the way to do it. Where are we up to?
I think we're done.
Okay, so a little bit of housekeeping before Rick signs off. Email us at podcast@rickshields.com if you want to feature on let's call it the first Dear Rick, because this week was a tester. We dipped our toe in the water. So next week will be the first ever Dear Rick. So start your email with Dear Rick or Dear Rick and Guy. I'd have to be first on that one. That's fine. Let Rick have his moment to shine.
I've been getting in guys' ear and said, just will you let me have a say in the podcast?
So that's the first thing. If you want to be listener of the week again, you know the criteria for that by now. But I know this sometimes annoys people, but please, if you enjoy the podcast and you're on Apple, rate it 5 stars. Well, don't have to rate it 5 stars, just rate it, ideally 5 stars, because the more ratings we get, it helps us climb the charts. And at the minute, we're the number one golf podcast in the UK, which is fantastic.
Great.
But we're getting close to being in the top 10 for all sports in the UK.
Wow.
And if we can, even if we just do that for 1 week, that would be outstanding.
Well, that's what gets the sponsorship deals, everybody.
We need a sponsor. We're sick of giving this free content away week in, week out. So it's your choice. You can help us by rating the podcast, sharing it with friends. And also, weirdly, make sure you actually hit the subscribe button, because if you listen to the podcast once or twice, it's great because Apple then pushes it into your feed every week, but you might not actually be subscribed.
And is it... You mentioned that if you're not subscribed, don't they get it later?
And yeah, this does sound like a plug, but it's genuinely true. If you're not... This podcast is now getting... Well, nearly 11 o'clock in the UK in the morning here. We'll upload this in the next half an hour, and then it'll go... So subscribers should be able to listen to it by, let's say, 1 o'clock. But annoyingly, for people who aren't subscribed, it won't be visible till, like, maybe in the evening. And I don't know why it is.
Well, that's non-subscribers' fault. Yeah. You need to subscribe.
Subscribe.
Great, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for putting such a great show together today. Guy, as always, we are about to go and do some filming. I'm about to neck a pint with the boys.
Yeah. I'm going to have a possibly take cordial with the boys.
Tequila shot. It's 11 a.m. in the morning. I think that's right. I actually quite like doing it outside. It was quite refreshing. Lovely weather. We're not probably going to do that again for the rest of the year because it's going to be freezing now. We're back in the garage with more content coming very soon. Guys, thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Lots more to come. Some great videos coming this week as well. Hopefully you're going to enjoy them. And we'll see you next time. Peace out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.